final speaker is Angela McCormick, who is partly responsible for co-sponsoring and organising this on behalf of Globalised Resistance Scotland. Angela has been touring over the last year preparing for the G8 summit. She's been in places as far afield as Ireland on tour as well. She's getting around, but we've got her here in Glasgow today, and we're very pleased to have her in terms of her contribution on how we prepare for the G8 summit. So please give Angela a warm welcome.
Kier, and thanks everybody. I'll try and be brief and just add a couple of comments. Kier's quite right. I have been touring. I've been in Derry and I've been in Auchterarder. But tomorrow night, I'll be in East Kilbride for make sure that we get the massive, biggest possible vote for Rose Gentle, because that's just got to happen. So, you know, exciting times indeed. Just kind of quickly, the G8, right, and today's conference, I just have to say, I think it's just a testament to the strength of your movement. Our movement in its broadest, most diverse sense, a movement that is taking on really quite serious challenges facing us in terms of racism, war and poverty, and we are coming out fighting every time. We are taking what they're throwing at us, we're discussing it amongst ourselves, and we're saying, how can we put our alternative? And I think that's what today's about. Because actually, I'm thinking here, listening today to everybody speaking, and the meetings I've been at today, and our brothers and sisters from Africa, and the creche, and the food, And I was remembering the reason I thought in January, I knew 2005 was going to be a pretty big year, when I think it was almost the 1st of January I was on a demo, on a protest. And it was a protest against the deportation of Pastor Daly. And people should remember, it was the spirit and resistance and the actual determination of people coming together to resist the racist asylum laws that has brought us here today. Because there is no separation. War, poverty, racism, these are the agenda of the world rulers. And our agenda is peace, democracy, justice, equality, diversity, fraternity and solidarity. And I think that's just what I'm thinking about as I sort of stand here in front of you today. I knew 2005 was going to be a big year, and you know, the 1st of January when we were doing that, and we knew with the G8 coming in July. Quickly, the G, everybody knows the G stands for group, which I'm always quite surprised at. It must be something fancy, must be grand or some like word like praxis. It's not, it's just group. You know, and really the word G8 just says it all. There is nothing legitimate. There's nothing accountable. There is no complicated process that takes place when the G8 get together. It is like us all sitting here and saying, Colin Marcel, the G, what are we, the G7? The fact is, that is it. The difference is, these are the leaders of the world's most powerful countries. They have no legitimacy when they meet. They have no accountability. There is no democracy or even pretense of it. They just get together. Some people call it a jamboree. Some people call it a party, a booze up. That's essentially what it is. The G8, as we know, are Canada, Paul Martin, France, Jacques Chirac, Germany, Gerhard Schroeder, it's Italy, Silvio Berlusconi, but exactly. Japan, Junichiro Koizumi, Russia, Vladimir Putin, United Kingdom, well, Tony Blair, United States, George W. Bush, exactly, otherwise known as Mr. Cuts, Mr. Racism, Mr. Profits, Mr. Poverty, Mr. Crook, Mr. Terror, Mr. Liar, and Mr. War, or in Blair and Bush's case, Mr. All of the Above. Right. And really, I think that's what always gets me, because we're faced daily with an onslaught to say that these are the powerful people, they are the serious people, they have all these researchers, they have ideas, they're always, you know, whether Blair's got his jacket on or jacket off or shirt sleeves rolled up or tie loosened, we're very serious. Yes, and we're always wringing of the hands. Absolute rubbish, and I think that's, people in the room know that, and that's, you know, what should motivate it. I'm here to argue that we should be protesting like others at the G8, and just to throw in some of my reasons, there are many reasons. The reasons are quite simply, it's important to protest because the G8 have had over 30 years to deal with the issues that they're now proclaiming are at the top of their agenda. No mistakes, they've had 30 years, and not only has that things not get better, it's not a case that things haven't got better and we haven't managed to deal with poverty, it is that poverty has increased. We live in a world where the rich are richer. I think actually, and this is not going to be a blatant plug for the book, because you're sick of that, I think, but in Tommy Sheridan's chapter on poverty, starts off with like a quote from a socialist who says, what thinking rich people call the problem of poverty, equally right thinking poor people call the problem of riches. We live in a world where Bill Gates, I think Jeremy Paxman, I always like doing this, and again, it's one of Tommy's, I think, actually, when Paxman was interviewing Bill Gates, and he said to Bill Gates, look, if you dropped a $10,000 bill on the floor, he said, it wouldn't be worth your time picking it back up. Think about it, $10,000, you dropped it. He says, it wouldn't be worth your time picking it up, because in the time it takes you to bend down and pick it up, Bill Gates has already made another $10,000. Think about that. That is what right-thinking poor people the world over are thinking about. That's the world we live in. That's why we should protest at all of the events in July in the G8. Second reason why we should protest is quite simply that protest works. For the inspiring examples of the people that, you know, appear today as testament to that, to the fact that, again, the agenda that's put up there for the G8 is not Tony Blair's agenda. I'm just sitting there thinking there. Africa, climate change, that's not Blair and Brown's agenda. That's our agenda. Who put Africa top there? The people of the Global South fighting, the people anti-war, the anti-globalisation, us, we put that top of their agenda and they are forced to deal with it. And we are now dealing with the fact that they are addressing us, and we need to continue with the protest because protest works. We have marched, lobbied, sung, danced, organised and stayed determined, and we need to continue that right up to the G8, to the 6th of July. Because if we don't keep up the pressure, then we will throw away the chance of getting real and lasting change, because I do, again, I totally agree with everybody, it's a 2005 as a crunch year. The other reason for protesting against the G8 is just quite simply Bush and Blair are going to be there. No, don't care about it. If it was just, as I say, if it was just G2, that would be reason enough. Never mind the bloody rest of them. These people are the world's number one warmongers. We need to protest in Edinburgh on Saturday. We need to be at Faz Lane. We need to be at Dungavel. We need to have one hell of a good time and bring other people. But we need to be at Glen Eagles because of the people of Fallujah, the people of Palestine, the people of Iraq. And I'll tell you another thing that occurs to me when you hear Blair and Brown. They are trying to use the poverty that they have caused in Africa to cover up what they have done to the poor in Iraq and the Middle East. And that's sickening, because they know not to convince them. They think that Tony Blair and Gordon Brown don't want to talk about the war. It's quite clear that arguments. Look, they think that they can talk about Africa, and that, when you think about it morally, can on a human level, how they think they can do that to use other people's poor to justify their crimes. So that's a couple of things there. We put that on their agenda. And again, it is the hypocrisy of how, you know, Tony Blair's deporting people, he's locking people up, he's denying people the right to a house and, you know, benefits and a decent life. The people that come from Africa, that are African, yeah. Yet he claims to be for Africa. And I think what's important about today is that we've really kind of put that on the map and asserted that, and we can go out with confidence to speak to people and spread that word, because it is important that, you know, that we go out and talk to others. It is also important that we link the poverty the world over, because war and poverty links us all in loads and loads of different ways. Again, testament, I think, these people that we've heard speaking today, no matter where you live, what your background is, where you find yourself today, because you don't know where you'll be tomorrow. And we live in a world where, in Zambia, I always use the statistic because I think it kind of brings it home, that in Zambia the life expectancy, it's a statistic, but the average life expectancy in some figures is quoted at 33. Now for me, coming, never having been outside, actually lived anywhere outside Glasgow really, I always find that quite shocking, partly because I'm 36, right? Do you know what I mean? And we live in a world where 50 is the new 40. 40 is the new 30. I know people that are having 40th birthday parties and they're calling it mid-youth parties. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but what I'm saying is we need to stop and think. And that figure's quite good for talking to people, because I think if you say to people who, you know, you're trying to engage with, you say that figure. And then the link to poverty at home is another figure, because the average life expectancy of a man in Shettleston, Glasgow Shettleston, which is the poorest constituency in Britain, is 63. Now, 63 it is now. It's actually fallen by 18 months. Now, in a so-called developed, industrialised, wealthy country, that is the first actual real drop in life expectancy since the Second World War, 40 years, I think. And it's 14 years lower than the national average. So talk about these things, I think they're a way of getting it across, because, again, this is not through natural things. These are through the fact that the system is wrong, the priorities are wrong. We know it. You know it when you're young. Someone always said to me, you know, when I was young, you say, why, you know, with food mountains? Oh, why can we not feed the poor in Africa? That's what you ask when you're young and you're through Britain and stuff like that. And the people, the adults would answer, well, you just can't do that. And you say when you were younger, but how no? Because you just can't do that. And I think we're about saying, how no? Of course you can do it. And it's about re-establishing those questions that you ask about the way the world should be are absolutely 100, 200% correct and are backed up by the experience, the research, the knowledge and the skills of the people that are putting the case before you as today. As I say, I've been over the place. I was in Derry actually, talking about the G8, and I was in Belfast talking about the G8. So like saying, I am from Scotland, everybody's to come, they're all coming to stay at my house, they're in for a shock. But I'll give you a wee story for that. There's a couple of school students in a Belfast school have organised a Make Poverty History kind of thing at lunchtime. They get 25 people to it. They're organising a bus. They're 16, 17, 18, and they're coming to Glen Eagles. There are people organising in Dublin and Galway and students. There's a guy I actually met a guy in Galway who'd lived in Fad Lane. Do you know what I mean? They lived in a peace camp. So it's a small world indeed. These are things that happen. And also, equal, I just finished that Auchterarder, we did some leafleting and stuff in Auchterarder, because if people don't know, Auchterarder is the village right next to Glen Eagles, and it's actually very close, and it's been the focus of the world's media, and they've been up there saying, oh, this G8, these protesters, the gathering storm, you know, all the protesters are going to be smashing down your doors and robbing your bakeries and, you know, that kind of stuff. So we went and we've had meetings there and we've spoke to people, but I tell you what, if you talk to people about the issues, which is what they're trying to stop us from doing. Every time you see an article about police violence or debt, think about it. Where are the issues? Where is it about Africa, debt, aid and trade? We talked to people about the issues, and we had some cracking some good times, as well as the fact that you might have read we won the pub quiz. So the local GLT, so we went in after we won the pub quiz, but as you might have expected, we donated the bottle of vodka back because it was for charity and a good cause, so we were like, you know, right on. But we were welcomed there and we were argued with, but if you talk to people about the issues, and there was loads of people that had been on the demonstrations in February the 15th, actually, the anti-war demonstrations, and if you talk to them about the issues, and you talk about the tsunami, you talk about how Blair didn't cancel his holiday, you talk about the money spent on the war, all the things we talk about today, then these are our weapons. These are our weapons, and part of conferences like today is sharpening your weapons to good, and that sort of, sorry, that's not a very good language, no very peaceful language, but, you know, it kind of works that kind of way. Do you know what I mean? And it's about getting ourselves up and running and ready. So I think that's just about it. I would encourage everybody to come to the meeting on Monday night in Glasgow, and to do likewise. If you can't get to the meeting, organise your own meeting, organise your own network, wherever it may be. And I think this is just the beginning of the process. And you should get to Glen Eagles, you should join us, put your name down for the transport. It is beautiful, it really is, nice stunning backdrop. And if you don't believe me, just look up the Perthshire Tourist Board and read what they say, because they recommend Perthshire to you, this beautiful Scottish countryside. They say it's got a rich, exciting cultural scene, exhilarating countryside, and it makes it the ideal backdrop for this year's summit. So who are we to argue with that? Do you know what I mean? And so I would encourage everybody to be there. And I'd just like to say, I mean, many people here, I think I'm just quite proud to take part in the event and hope that it is the beginning. A kind of relationships and exchange ideas and actually making us stronger. And we need to get this message out, and Tony Blair and George Bush should be very afraid when they see events like this.